edition of the PHNX Feedback Show, right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I'm occasionally known as your mayor of PHNX. This man next to me, occasionally known as your thunderstick, Jesse Friedman, always known as my vice mayor. And we have your updates, of course, from a big Diamondbacks win over the San Diego Padres. Torey Lovullo put a good lineup out there today. Could tell he wanted maybe to get a little bit of that Padres action, maybe start the things off early, even in spring training, and get a win under their belt, and they did.
Well, the Padres clearly had no interest in winning this game.
Because I
didn't know a single player in their lineup today, Derek. That's not actually true. But the Padres definitely had, they didn't exactly have the A-team out there against
they
the Diamondbacks.
They did not. And when you saw them fielding there on some of those balls in the middle of the game.
It felt like the C-team playing
defense. Definitely felt like the
sure.
C-team. Torey Lovullo made the inevitable C-team, I guess, mistake that we knew he was going to make one of these days. There was some confusion today about who would be the DH, whether it was Peterson or Peterson.
Yes, those are two different players.
Spelled differently.
Spelled differently, but pronounced like mostly the same.
Yeah.
Like when I say Peterson for Jace Peterson versus Peterson for Jock Peterson, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm basically saying the same thing. And I asked Torey Lovullo, I said, do you feel like it was only a matter of time before someone made the Peterson versus Peterson mistake? And he said, absolutely, it was only a matter of time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's spring training in all facets, Derek, even when it comes to writing up the lineup cards, you know, you have to knock the rust off and make sure we're attending to precision in all the ways that we need to.
I'll take it a step further and say, I guarantee this won't be the last time that this mistake happens.
If on opening day Jace Peterson is batting cleanup in the first lineup that you see,
we know why mistakes were made. Well, we had a couple of guys that were out due to injury returning to the lineup today. Alec Thomas came back. He looked amazing in the outfield. I made a comment to Jesse that Thomas is, once again, he's like Christian Walker over there first base. You just don't really appreciate how easy he makes difficult plays look, how graceful he is. Like, he made a sliding catch that just looked like it was routine. And there's nothing routine about making a sliding catch in center field during a baseball game.
Yeah, he's good.
He's really good.
He's good at center field.
He's good at playing baseball. That's
analysis.
This is the kind of quality analysis you'll get from Jesse Friedman on this show. Another guy returned to the lineup today, Gino Suarez, who may be my new man crush, and deservedly so after the way he performed today. He hit a first pitch fastball dinger that was absolutely crushed, and it was great to see him come back and have such an outstanding day out there. I mean, you can really see what kind of spark this guy could potentially be for this lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just two plate appearances today. He walked once. He hit a 3-run homer, as Tim makes an amazing comment.
Tim, don't even start with me today, Tim. Anyway, Tim says I look 20 years younger since yesterday's stream. I was tired yesterday. Leave me alone. Anyway, go ahead.
So that just means you look your age now,
yeah, I'm
right?
Good now. Yesterday, yeah, I'm back.
Yesterday
I was
you were 20 years older.
Yesterday,
now you're back to just being
53,
whatever, 64, however old you are. To be fair, this fastball that he hit over the fence was one of the worst pitches that you'll see. Is about a center cut of a forcing fastball from Pedro Avila's as could be imagined.
Yep.
But I mean, he did with it what Eugenio Suarez is supposed to do with mistake pitches, right? And that's hit them over the fence with a decent frequency. And he did that today. It was over 109 miles an hour off the bat. It was 422 feet, which is far. This was not a cheap shot by any means. And I think when you heard him having issues in the backside area, that's kind of what was described. You kind of wonder, like, is this going to affect his power or whatnot? Is that going to be a factor when he comes back? And certainly looks like he's back ready to go. And he hit the ball a very, very long way today.
We talked to him after he came out of the game. He talked about how quickly he has felt like he's become part of this Diamondbacks family. And I know, you know, the feeling is kind of mutual there when it comes to Gino, because everybody has already said such wonderful things about him. They've said wonderful things about Eduardo Rodriguez, that both guys have fit in with the team very well. But this is what Gino had to say on just kind of becoming part of this Diamondbacks family.
I mean, the way they treat me, you know, is a lot for me. You know, I feel like they're part of my family, and they got a really good energy here. We feel like we are family in the clubhouse and on the field and practice. We got a good energy. We communicate, and that's all for me. You know, I feel great. I feel happy to be part of this team.
Look at that man. Look at that man. That's why I said hair. That's my new man crush. The hair, the beard, everything. The answers, the sincerity, the love he showed today. It was great. And I mean, honestly, you can see, we talked to Paul Sewald. Paul Sewald kind of said, you know, it's not like the trade for Gino was contingent on what he had to say about him, but they did pick his brain about what kind of, you know, teammate he was. And Paul was very excited for them to be pursuing Suarez and to be bringing him over as a part of this team. He knew how big of a teammate he could be, like what kind of clubhouse guy he could be and how he could add to this team. We're going to joke the whole year about being connected and dangerous. There's no way we're not, but it's a very real thing. And it's something that Jesse and I actually kind of want to dive into a bit more with Tori, because there is a philosophy that is up on the wall there that we were kind of checking out today.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot more into this whole change of culture that Tori Lavolo is trying to institute, right? There is something to be said about this standard that they're trying to set. And right now, Petey is on set with a wine glass, and he just made a Joker card appear in the wine glass. My God, like, I can't concentrate with Petey over here doing incredible magic tricks just off set. That's not fair. He didn't bring that energy onto our show, but he does it over here so only you and I can see it. That's not fair. Sorry.
Mullet magic is real, Derek.
Mullet magic is real. But yeah, I wish I could grow some locks like Gino, Tim. Those days for me are far in the past, but Gino did have himself an incredible day out there. And I mean, he talked again. This is after the game, but this is what he had to say about doing whatever he can to help this team win.
It was really nice, you know. That's a lot of fun. And when you got days like this, you know, I got a couple at bat, and it was, you know, very good for me. And two good at bat, good defense, and we scored run and put everything together. It's mean a lot, you know. That's what I wanted. That's what I want to do and help the team everywhere, you know, everywhere, defense. Run at the bases, hit the bombs, hit a base, take away everything that I can do, I was doing for them.
Look at that. And then my mustache together with his beard makes a whole beard. So I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. He did have himself a great day out there. And, you know, this vibe, you know, they talk about being a good vibes guy. It feels very real.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely heard nothing but positive things about Gino Suarez and what he brings to not only a team on the field, but in the clubhouse last year in Seattle. And from everything we've been able to see, that's translated well over to Arizona, and getting him back healthy and, you know, getting some experience before the season starts is certainly a good thing for him.
Dean says no one with that hair can be anything but sincere.
There you go.
That's true. Marco says Gino has broken hearts with hair like that. You're goddamn right he has. You're goddamn right. Speaking of heartbreakers, Pavin Smith, 2-for-2 today.
Speaking of heartbreakers,
Pavin Smith, 2-for-2 today.
It breaks our heart that he's like going to make the roster or something.
He had an exit velo of 112 miles per hour on double today. Let's calm down, all right?
He had a big
this
hit.
Might be the real Pavin Smith.
He had a big postseason, Pavin did.
He did.
He was a decoy for most of it.
He was such a good decoy.
He had one good at-bat.
Yep.
D-backs legend.
He was a decoy.
He was an incredible decoy. Now with this guy David piping up over here, did you get a chance to hear Jerry P mic'd up? I texted you about that. Jerry P was mic'd up at today's game, and let me tell you, it was incredible.
Today's broadcast was made for Damon.
It was handcrafted for Damon.
Like, this was Geraldo Perdomo. Yeah. Like, it wasn't really Steve Berthume and Bob Brenly broadcasting this game. It was like Geraldo Perdomo was steering the ship of that broadcast.
100%.
For basically half, like, I don't, how long did he stay on? Like four innings or something like that?
I don't know, but at one point he was chasing down his teammates. He was trying to get Merrill Kelly to do an interview.
Yeah, he was straight up harassing Merrill Kelly to come on and do an interview. Yeah,
yeah, he was a reporter for the day. I mean, that's our guy right there, Jerry P. But Tim asks a terrible question in the chat. He says, Jesse, let's play hypothetical. Perdomo starts first month, WRC of 80 or below. Do you pull the plug?
I mean, pull the plug as in
take him out back? Like, what are we talking about? Pull the plug as in
I guess bench him and or at least stop starting him at shortstop every day and bring up Jordan Lawler or something like that. I don't think so. You know, 80 isn't that bad. If it was 40, then maybe you'd consider that. But I mean, his WRC plus last year wasn't all that. I mean, I think it was in the mid 90s maybe. So I think Perdomo would have to really struggle for a decent amount of time before they would go a different direction. Of course, it would also depend on how our guy's doing in AAA. Is Jordan Lawler, you know, really raking down there and kind of banging down the door? Then maybe the team would be more open to that.
What about Ketel Marte playing shortstop?
Apparently. So Torrey didn't say that he's like, I don't think Ketel Marte is really being considered for the backup shortstop role. But Torrey did say today that Ketel Marte is very interested in the backup shortstop yes. role and has made that clear to him.
Well, this is what Torrey had to say on Ketel's energy so far this spring, which the man is hitting the cover off the ball constantly. So this is what Torrey had to say.
Very engaged, very hungry. And I've been really impressed by that. I have watched him mature over the past seven plus years in a very, very good way. And he's taken on a lot of responsibilities, and I'm watching the work habits, I'm watching the energy and the focus every single afternoon in a very impressive way.
I mean, we've seen it. You know, Ketel has been just absolutely dialed in. I asked him yesterday if there was anything he did differently, or if the time off being so short, you know, did anything. And
yeah.
he did kind of say that they, you know, they just played in the World Series 3 months ago, right? So like, yeah, I mean, for the most part, though, we saw videos of Ketel training in the Dominican Republic where it felt like he was just never really taking a day off. It felt like he went to the off season and just went into training mode, and now he's back here, and it feels like the results are a reflection of that.
Yeah, Ketel has continued to look fantastic, and yeah, I think he has matured. I mean, Torrey seems very sincere when he you know, you can kind of tell the difference in some ways when Torrey is saying stuff and, you know, he believes it, but he's kind of just saying it, you know, doing the manager thing. And when he's saying something that he really is like, oh, you kind of struck a chord here. This is something that I very strongly believe right now. And you can tell he really strongly believes that Ketel Marte is not only a better player than he was, you know, 7-8 years ago when he first came in the Diamondbacks organization, but just a more mature person in general, a more mature player, a more mature leader around the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I think there's been a lot of growth there for Ketel and what he brings to the yard every day. And spring training results, again, I'll say it for the 100th time, we're not reading much into that, but he still looks physically in great shape. And that is, you know, the most important thing for Ketel Marte at the end of the day.
He also said that the shoes that he's wearing right now in spring training are nothing compared to the fire that he's ready to bring during the regular season. So if you've seen Ketel's purple, they're like purple and teal Nike cleats.
Ketel always has his incredible fashion sense.
And he says those are nothing compared to what we're going to see. So I can't wait for that. But you can judge Torrey's sincerity on this. Here he is talking about Ketel possibly playing some backup shortstop and if that's a reality for this team.
When did you talk to him today?
Today.
Yeah, he told me I'll be our backup shortstop. I love that. Maybe he'll enter into the conversation. He loves to play shortstop, but you know, the backup shortstop's probably going to play 20 plus games, 30 plus games. So I asked him the same thing. I said, do you think you can play 30 games over there? He's like, yeah, I'll do anything, whatever you want me to do. But he's a very good shortstop. We can remember when he was healthy and moving well before we put him out to center field, he's a very good shortstop.
I just don't know how sincere any of them were in this, right? Like, because I go around this joint right? I go around this place. I say, like, I'll help out with anything around PHNX, right? Do I really want Jacob to sit me down and go, hey, will you produce coyotes really fast? Like, I don't want that. I'm not ready for that responsibility, right? And if he puts me in that spot, I might have to all of a sudden just go back on the thing I said about being willing to do anything to help out, right? There was a reporter, I believe it was it Barry Bloom, I believe, who Barry Bloom was just coming with the hits today, by the way. someone incredulously asked, are you serious? Like, you're actually considering playing Cattell for like 30 games?
You wanted to confirm, because based on this answer, Torrey is talking up Cattell's desire to be that. He's not necessarily in this answer saying that the Diamondbacks are really considering having Cattell Marte as a
However,
shortstop.
He did say Cattell is a really good shortstop multiple times. And I like to think of Torrey as an honest, good guy. But I know he's lying to us in that statement. I know he is. There's no way he believes that to be the truth.
Damon just let out the biggest thanks, but no thanks while that video played. And I mean, you know, I will say that I want Cattell playing exactly where he's at, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing with Cattell. Obviously, Cattell is willing to play other positions because of that whole center field kind of fiasco that they went through at one point. But, you know, Cattell's health. Cattell's bat is the most important thing here. The Diamondbacks have players that can play good defense. I mean, Cattell as a DH might not be a terrible, you know, consideration or something at some point down the line on his career, because really right now, it's not to say that Cattell's a bad defender, but I do feel like the Diamondbacks have people that, you know, players that can play that position well. It's a matter of Cattell's bat needing to be in there. And I want him to play in the position that's going to, you know, put him in the best place to succeed, right? That's really what it's about.
When do you think Cattell Marte last played shortstop in a major league game?
2017?
2023.
What?
Cattell Marte played 2 innings of shortstop last season for the Diamondbacks. Torrey. I just looked up the box score. This was on August 30th against the Dodgers. It looks like the Diamondbacks brought in Evan Longoria as a pinch hitter for Geraldo Perdomo, and it required them to like shuffle their defenders around. And so Cattell Marte moved from second base to shortstop and logged 2 innings. But yes, before that, it had been since 2020, and he was only 16 innings in 2020. He hasn't played significant innings at the position since 2018, and I don't think Cattell Marte is a genuine candidate for the backup shortstop role. Torrey, and that follow-up question, said that as of right now, he is not being considered for that role. So, you know, shout out to Cattell for his willingness and you know, wanting to be a team player and all that. But I don't think this is actually something the Diamondbacks will pursue.
I think Tim makes a great point, though. Like, Kevin Newman's confidence must be at an all-time low, considering that if you were to hear that, if you were to see them bring in Elvis and do the things they're doing.
Bringing in Elvis for Kevin Newman would be a sign for sure that, like, oh, I'm not, maybe they're not totally loving what they're seeing from me, or they're bringing in more outside options. Not a great sign for someone like Kevin Newman for sure.
And obviously that's not the only, you know, big spot that's up this spring that they have to decide about. Torrey doesn't seem to be too concerned yet about any of this. He doesn't seem to be concerned about making a decision or setting a date for when he's going to make a decision for any of these spots. He figures he's going to let it play out as long as he can. But he was asked today once again about that fifth starter spot, and he was kind of basically pressed about if the Diamondbacks would consider doing bullpen games, opener style stuff.
Yeah,
this year.
Which was never that's pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious when you go out and get an Eduardo Rodriguez and you have these other guys fighting for the final spot. Plus,
no team on day one is planning to do bullpen games.
Yeah, I'm going with the opener strategy.
That's not how this works.
It was crazy to sit there today and hear the discussion go in a way where they were like, is baseball changing to a strategy where they want guys to go 6 innings and, you know, have 5 starters? I was like, when did that ever change from baseball strategy? Like, what are we doing here? But
I mean, I do think, and I think there is some validity to that. Like, we have seen a shift where some teams are a little bit more more willing to do bullpen games. Absolutely. And openers and that
but
kind of thing.
But I think it's out of necessity more than it's out of like, a, yeah, like you said, yeah, a day one plan where we're going to go into the regular season and every five right days we're going to just, we're going to catch them off guard by throwing our bullpen out there. Like,
it tends to happen when you're, you know, you're out of starting pitchers for whatever reason, if guys get hurt or whatnot, and maybe you like the idea of a bullpen game more than you like your next available starter in AAA.
And that's whatever. What Torrey alluded to, right? Torrey was basically trying to say, like, last year that wasn't really the plan either. Like, that's just the way
D-backs
things work.
Kind of had no choice. Yeah. I mean, when you're trying to win, when you really need to win every game that you play, which was the case in September and in the postseason, you're going to put out there whatever you think gives you the best chance to win those right games. And right, for that team at that time, what they had and who was healthy, the bullpen game made the most sense. That's not the case now. They have, I think, multiple starting pitching options that would make more sense than going with a bullpen game in the fifth spot.
Yeah, and like that's what Torrey said. That if he can help it, that won't happen in 2024. He also said that there's more than two candidates right now that are competing for that final rotation spot. And I do feel like at times we do kind of box it down to it just being Tommy Henry or Ryan Nelson.
Sure.
Both of those guys have been pitching well this spring, though they both kind of got nicked up a bit on their last outings. Ryan Nelson today, Tommy Henry yesterday. But this is what Torrey had to say about there being more than the two candidates.
More than two. Okay. Yeah, more than two. So I know everybody targets Tommy and Nelly. But they're the two maybe front runners because of what they've done. But we have a lot of guys that can go out and execute game plans. Everything they're doing is going to be considered. We got to make the best decision for this ball club to help us win baseball games.
And yeah, again, I mean, I know that there are other guys in the mix, other guys in consideration. But right now, Ryan Nelson and Tommy Henry both have been giving at least good enough efforts that it feels like one of those guys still is the front runner. Those guys probably still are both front runners. Ryan Nelson was okay today. He was actually, yeah, he shoved through three innings, but once he got to that fourth inning today, which it seemed like the Diamondbacks wanted to get him through four, he just struggled to get outs. He ends up going three plus innings pitched, gives up five hits, two earned runs, one walk, two strikeouts, 57 pitches thrown, 39 strikes total. Not a terrible day by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But what it did kind of look like to me, and I think this kind of sucks when you are in this position, is like Ryan Nelson looked great for a couple of innings. So then does that as a manager change your perspective that maybe, you know, shorter outings is better for Ryan, thus maybe relegating him to that bullpen role? I know that's way too early to even be speculating on that, but it really felt like Ryan Nelson was cruising until he got to that fourth inning, and then it just seemed like things fell apart for him.
Yeah, I don't know if his stuff dropped off necessarily. He just wasn't really executing very well at that point in the game. I do think that you know, the big narrative on Ryan Nelson has been, can he develop more consistent secondary stuff? You
right
know, can he have other weapons outside of the fastball? And you know, we've seen glimpses of that. I do like the slider being, you know, several ticks up in velo. It averaged 88.5 again today, which is, you know, 3 miles an hour more than last year. That clearly has been a point of emphasis. But he still threw 60% four-seamers in this game. And last season, Ryan Nelson threw 54% four-seamers. He actually threw more fastballs today than he did last season, or a greater percentage of fastballs today than he did last season. I think the same was true in his last start. So we're seeing some good signs there. I still like the secondary mix a little bit better than last year, but he didn't get any whiffs on anything outside of his four-seam fastball today. I think in his last start, 9 of the 10 whiffs were on his four-seam fastball. So there are still some signs that I'm maybe a little bit concerned about with Ryan Nelson, where I don't know if he's quite gotten, he hasn't at least shown yet that he's gotten over the hump with those secondary pitches.
Yeah. Well, this is what Ryan said to how he's approaching that fifth starter spot. And of course, you know, doing whatever he can, at least right now, to keep himself in that competition.
I mean, it would definitely, it's the goal, obviously, but I think that to achieve that, it's more so down to me and what I got to do to get better every day. And just trying to constantly improve and work on myself and be better at my craft.
Does it help that you were basically going through that a year ago at this time too?
Yeah, I think that being there before definitely helps, and understanding how to deal with that a little bit better, and just, like I said, just focus on myself and try to make sure I'm the best version of myself that I can be.
That is one thing that all of these guys, including Brandon Pfaadt, have is some experience now and the opportunity to come into this spring with a different approach a little bit than last spring, where you didn't know if you were going to make the team. You didn't know what your role was going to be. You didn't know if you could find a spot for yourself. I feel like these guys know what they're competing for, and they also know that if they don't get that role, that they're, you know, what their role is going to be probably coming out of the bullpen as a long reliever, whoever doesn't get that spot. And I don't think it's a definitive thing either, because as the season goes on, we could definitely see Torrey potentially make a change there if whoever does get the spot isn't performing well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, last season we saw Ryan Nelson win the spot, and then, you know, he didn't necessarily stay there the entire season. He made a decent number of starts in the majors for sure. But once the D-backs got into the playoffs, he wasn't much of a factor at that point. So, yeah, he's been in this race before. I mean, he was in a very similar position last year at this time. Yep. I think him and Dre Jameson were kind of the front runners at that point, whereas now it's Ryan Nelson and Tommy Henry. But yeah, this race is still certainly not over. I continue to say that Tommy Henry is the front runner in my mind, kind of until he, I think it depends more on him and, you know, him kind of pitching himself out of the spot in some ways. But Ryan Nelson is going to play a pretty significant role on the Diamondbacks no matter how this initial race pans out.
Did you bring up Dre Jameson there and the word race in the same
sentence? I think I might have. Yeah.
Because if you did, we have to talk about the fact that we just randomly bumped into Dre today out at Salt River Fields. And we just asked him how he was feeling, and he randomly decided to tell us that he ran a 40-yard dash yesterday just for fun. There was an Olympic sprinter. Apparently that was came out to Salt River Fields and he went for it, and he told us he allegedly ran a 4.4140. And so like
the sprinter did 4.35, I think. Yeah, he said, think, and people said were like kind of freaking out about how good a 4.35 was, which I don't really know that much about 40 yard times, to be honest, but I'm told that 4.35 and 4.41
are both very good, very fast. And so, like, what I'm saying is, where can we get Dre James? Like, he doesn't have to pitch. We can get him on the roster pinch running, right? Can we not? I mean, that seems like I'm not going to tell Torrey how to do his job. Look, you guys do your thing over there. I'm just suggesting that if the man can run a 4.4, maybe he doesn't need to be a pitcher anymore at all. I don't know. It's just crazy to think that he could be that fast as a pitcher. It's a wasted skill on a pitcher. It really is. When does he have to sprint to go cover first? I mean, come on. Anyway, we thank you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel so much. Of course, if you haven't subscribed to our channel yet, what are you doing? Make sure to do so right now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when any of our wonderful shows go live. Leave us a like. We always love when you drop those attaboys on us. If you're listening on the audio podcasting side, we love our listeners. We appreciate you guys as well. Make sure you guys leave us a review, and make sure you're subscribed on your favorite audio podcasting app over there. Jesse, this weekend, Phoenix Raceway, that's where we will be. That's where the PHNX crew will be having fun out there for the Shriners Children's 500 at Phoenix Raceway, of course, March 8th through the 10th. We cannot wait. They're going to have all sorts of Q&As with drivers. There's going to be so much fun to be had. So whether you're a diehard racing fan like my wife, or simply looking for a fantastic day out with some alcohol like me, this event promises fun for everyone, from live entertainment, fan hospitality areas, an immersive infield experience, plus incredible cars going very, very fast. Maybe as fast as Dre Jameson. I don't know if the cars go faster than Dre, but get your tickets right now to the Shriners Children's 500 at Phoenix Raceway, March 8th through the 10th. It promises a weekend of good vibes for the whole family. Get your reserve grandstand tickets now at phoenixraceway.com. Also, check out our friends at Desert Financial Credit Union, because for more than 84 years, Desert Financial has been Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union. Of course, they got me started on my homeownership journey, as I've talked about. They can get you started on yours as well. You can look to Desert Financial for checking and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and more. More than anything, you can look to Desert Financial for peace of mind, to know that you are banking with a credit union that is committed to giving back to their community and giving back to their customers. So when you open a free checking account online right now, you get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. I guess it's time for us to start prepping for the regular season. And in doing so, we have to start making enemies, right? That's the only way that this can begin. So it is Tuesday. And you know what we do on Tuesday. We haven't been doing it for very long, but it's Tier Maker Tuesday. So we are going to now do a little tier ranking of National League baseball teams. Is that right?
That is correct.
This is this guy's idea because he just wants to ruffle feathers. But can we get our tier maker board up
there? I absolutely love it, by the way, Jesse. I want to ruffle feathers too. It's all I know, I've ever wanted
you're a big
to
fan
do.
This is right up Damon's alley.
Yeah, it's all I've ever wanted to do.
One of Damon's favorite things to do in the whole wide world.
Guys, I'll just start this off. Can we put the Phillies like really low?
I mean,
like so low that like they get mad.
Yeah. You just want to start off with that?
I just want to throw it out there.
You can put them in F tier right now.
Because
and
of
then
the
we'll
existence of PHOI and CHGO, right. We should probably put the Cubs and the Phillies like at least one full tier lower than where they
really
belong. But
the White Sox are just so irrelevant, we don't even mention them.
They're an AL team. We don't care about
they
that.
They are quite literally irrelevant.
They are irrelevant
in this tier ranking, yes.
So. I was just imagining a world where Jesse was just forgetting about the White Sox again, so he was just roasting them again.
Right. We watched the White Sox beat the Diamondbacks, so I don't know how much roasting we can do right now. But what we can do is we could start off by putting the Colorado Rockies in the F tier. I mean, I don't think that there's any question about that.
That's a good play off the bat.
Is that a good start?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I mean, there's the DNVR, right? So let's just shoot. Let's like take shots right now. They're a terrible baseball team, and they're going to continue to be terrible. But you know what they're also going to do? They're going to continue to like have crazy attendance, and it's going to infuriate the true fans so much that they can never send the proper message to their ownership with that going on.
Are we going like from the bottom up? Is that how
I just wanted to start things off with the Rockies.
I think that was
tier.
A good start.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like you said you wanted to ruffle feathers. You said you wanted to make enemies. So let's just start off right away.
All right, I'm gonna stick with the trend of bad baseball teams.
Okay.
We're gonna keep going from the bottom here.
Okay.
The Washington Nationals,
yes,
are probably the next team.
F tier.
I think that's probably fair.
That's more than fair.
Yeah. They are projected for 58.6 wins on Bakota.
And I saw that satin starter jacket that they have on. You guys were talking about in the episode I wasn't on, which I was very mad. You talked about laundry without me on it.
We did talk about laundry without you on it.
If I could take them down another level for that white jacket, I absolutely would because it was a terrible jacket.
Yeah. Patrick didn't like it either.
Their logos are terrible. Everything's terrible. They have a terrible team. All right. Next up, what else we got? Elise says DNBR has to know the Rockies are terrible. I don't think they'll be offended. Yeah, you're right about that. We all know how bad the Rockies are.
If they have a problem with the Rockies being an F tier, they're kind of just wrong, right?
Yeah.
It's just kind of the reality of the situation at this point.
Right. Okay. So I think we should close out the F category. I don't know if you have more teams than this, but I'm putting the Pirates in the F category. Is that fair?
The Pirates are clear. They're clearly better than the Rockies.
Correct. And
Nats,
their future is brighter. So, okay, I'll put them in the D.
In the D tier.
D tier. Pirates can go in the D tier.
If the Pirates get
Nick Gonzalez, he's going to have a big year this year.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. If like O'Neill Cruz comes back, like he's a really exciting young player.
Sure. They have a few of those.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Pirates are a step above the Nats and the Rockies.
Do you have any other teams in the F tier?
No, I don't think the F tier.
Okay.
I think it's probably just the Rockies and the Nats.
All right. Then let's move up to essentially. Oh, wait. We have a D tier. Okay. It's C tier. Okay. So Pirates, I'm putting in the D tier. And
they might be alone there, honestly.
I don't really have a lot of others. Yeah. Because
like the Mets were obviously a pretty miserable team last year,
right?
But they're like projected to be an above 500 team, which I don't know if I fully buy that, but I think they're better than a D tier team.
Okay. So where would you put the Mets, as a C or a B? Since we're talking about them, let's just rank them.
Yeah, that's tough.
I get what you're saying.
I would probably put the Mets in the C tier.
Okay.
Kodai Senga, I believe, is potentially not on track to be ready for opening day, which is a big problem for them. Their position player group is I think better than people maybe think it is. They obviously things weren't great for them last year, but you talk about, you know, having Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor, Francisco Alvarez is a player I really like, Brandon Nimmo, You know, they made some additions this offseason. They're a decent team. I think C is pretty fair.
We need to clarify for the chat. I know that there's a lot of logos on here because these are all the Major League Baseball teams, but we are only tier ranking National League Baseball teams. So no, the Oakland A's would not be a part of this, nor would the Chicago White Sox, nor would any of the teams.
Yeah, that's
in the
fair.
League.
That's fair. Yes. Yeah. If anyone came in thinking that we
Marcos
were doing the
is
whole
upset.
League,
he wants to know what the hell we're doing, and that's fair because he said the A's are at F tier. What the heck? Yeah. No, that's fine.
Talk about not knowing baseball, Derek. If we had just skipped over F and D and we're like, all right, we're in C.
We're
like,
in C now. What do you think? And all the other teams are this
A's
high or better.
In the B tier or the C tier, Derek? I don't know.
All right. Well, I want to definitely put the Cardinals in the C tier. That's who I think belongs in the C tier.
Okay.
Because I think their offseason moves were trash, and I think they're still going to be a bad baseball team.
They might be the definition of a C tier team.
Right?
I could make a case for the Cardinals as a B tier team.
Okay.
The computer projection things like the Cardinals a little bit. They view them as being the best team in the Central.
They always like the Cardinals. They always like the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Very true.
I think Sonny Gray starting the season on the injured list, which it appears is what's going to happen because of a hamstring issue. That's a big development for them.
There's a lot of pitchers starting the year on the injured list, man. I mean,
yeah,
we're going to talk about Lucas Giolito with the Boston Red Sox here in a little bit. But man, I mean, it feels like a lot of these top tier pitchers and even some of the ones that, you know, teams added are not coming in healthy this year. It explains why we've heard the word health said from so many Diamondbacks so far this spring, that health and getting yourself up to a level where you're ready to play 162 games at a speed that's kind of slow enough where you don't hurt yourself while you're getting ramped up is kind of a careful balance. But
yeah,
of course, yeah, I still don't care for the Cardinals one bit. All right, what else you got?
All right, if we're sticking in C tier, I think the San Diego Padres are a team that you could make a case for. I think the Miami Marlins are a team you could make a case for.
I disagree
for.
With that. I think the
Reds.
I think the Marlins and the Reds are B-tier teams. I really do.
Okay.
At least the Reds are.
That's
I think
fair.
The Reds got pulled down by injuries and stuff, but I think they're a young and exciting team. I think they're going to be a problem this year.
Did Damon just put the Padres in the C-tier?
I thought that's what we were saying.
Yeah, no, okay. That's wasn't that what you were saying?
I hadn't quite gotten there yet. I think that's where I was going to land, but I hadn't quite made the final call in my head.
Let's talk about this.
You were verbally.
Let's talk about the Padres pitching staff. Let's talk about their rotation.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
How can you
Jesse.
Put them in B tier with that rotation?
Correct.
I mean, Musgrove and Darvish is a pretty decent one too, but you're right that there's a lot of question marks after that.
Saying Darvish because we're Diamondbacks fans.
The Padres like don't do outfielders anymore. Like that's just like not a thing that they, I mean, they have Tatis, right, who can play right field, but center field and left field, they just kind of like traded away some guys and then they didn't replace them, which continues to be bizarre.
They just didn't do much. Like they didn't do anything. What did the Padres do this offseason?
They signed Yuki Matsui. I think their bullpen is decent. I mean, obviously the Juan Soto trade was huge, but it was bigger for the, you know, it was bigger in the immediate sense for the New York Yankees than it was for the San Diego Padres. So
I'm saying the Padres got good depth from the Yankees in that trade for Juan Soto. So I guess I just don't...
Michael King. Like I think Michael King, the centerpiece of that trade, could be a good starter for them. I'm between B and C on the Padres. What do you think?
That means they're a C team.
That's where we're going. All right.
Reds stay in B. Let's go back to the tier list. Reds staying in B. I'll let you put the Marlins in the C tier. Because again, I don't think the Marlins really did much to get better, in my opinion, this offseason. That's how I feel.
Yeah, that's fair. The Marlins were a fairly heavy negative run differential team last year. They still managed to find their way into the playoffs. And
is Luis Rice going to hit 360 again next year, 350 again next year? I mean, like,
yeah,
probably
not. They don't have Jorge Soler anymore. That's a pretty big loss for them.
Yeah.
They signed Tim Anderson, which that not necessarily a huge upgrade on paper. Their starting rotation has depth and is pretty darn good. I do like their starting rotation a lot. They've got some pieces in the bullpen. Tanner Scott is great, but yeah, their offense continues to have some question marks. I think C is pretty fair for the Marlins.
Okay.
I think Tim Anderson is a good buy low guy.
He could be. I mean, Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson at his best was a pretty darn good baseball player.
He was putrid last year. I doubt he reciprocates that.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. He had a 60 WRC plus and hit one home run in 524 plate appearances.
That would be shocking if he does that again, in my opinion.
I would take the over on 1.5, on 0.5 homers, on 1.5 homers.
I'm taking over 1.5. I'm taking the over on that. What about the Cubs? Chicago Cubs.
I lean B.
Yeah, that's where I have them too.
I mean, they were like plus 100 last year. I know the... You just slip when you put them in the D tier for a second. I think it was my subconscious. I couldn't put
CHGO Cubs like in a similar tier to the Diamondbacks where they're probably going to be. It was hard for me to do for a second.
Yeah, I get it.
I figured that'd be difficult for you, Damon.
I get it.
Yeah, the Cubs, I mean, I could make a case for the Cardinals being a better team than the Cubs, but I think based on the seasons that those two teams had last year, I'm pretty comfortable putting the Cubs ahead of the Cardinals. I didn't love the Cubs offseason, at least what's happened so far. Obviously, getting Cody Bellinger back was a really big development for them.
Really
but
was.
That's something they just kind of had to do. I like the Shota Imanaga move that they made. He's kind of coming in, replacing Marcus Stroman. They got Hector Neris for the bullpen. So they've done some things, but it seems like they're mostly bringing the same team back. They also were a pretty decent team last year. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were close, and their run differential suggested that they were a lot better than their record showed. So I think B is pretty fair there.
All right. So where do you want to put the Brewers? I mean, that's
a tough
bunch
one.
Of mediocre National League Central teams.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the, I don't know. We're gonna have to figure out where to put the Giants here at some point too. The Brewers, I mean, it's between B and C. I can very comfortably say that.
Yeah.
They don't have Corbin Burns anymore, which is obviously a big loss. Their offense, there are some question marks. They did bring in Rhys Hoskins, which is a pretty big add for them. Gary Sanchez, that move took about like a month to be made official after it was first reported, which was kind of funny, but it was made official eventually. Their rotation isn't what it used to be. I mean, it's Freddie Peralta. They're not going to get Brandon Woodruff back this year, which is tough. I don't know. How do you feel between B and C? I could go either way.
I would say they're a C tier team. I think that they didn't get better pitching wise. Like you said, Brandon Woodruff is a question mark.
They're not going to. Yeah, he's not going to pitch.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's basically, you know, a loss of their two studs. Right. I can't imagine that you would still see them as being a favorite to win that division. That's probably why St. Louis arguably could be a B tier team. They probably have a good chance of winning that division. It might be between those three teams if St. Louis was up there in the B tier. But yeah, no, Brewers, I think, are definitely a C-tier team.
So in the Central, we've put the Reds and the Cubs in B, and then we've put the Cardinals and the Brewers in C.
That's what we've done.
Do you agree with the Reds being in B?
Yeah, that's another one that's really hard between those two. I think Hunter Green is going to have a really good season and could really elevate the Reds. They really just need that frontline starting pitcher, right? Yeah. We talked about the Reds Diamondbacks comparison, and they just don't have the Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly at the top.
Right.
So they need that, but I think Hunter Green could be not necessarily quite like a Zach Gallen, but I think he could have a really good season. He really was trending upward toward the end of last year. They've got some good young pitchers as well. So, yeah, you could make a case either way. I think I'm okay leaving them in B.
The Reds could really be I don't know if they're connected, but man, could you imagine if they brought on a Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell and how that would...
anytime the word connected comes out of your mouth, I immediately think the dangerous is like right around the corner.
I actually thought you were going to say, I don't know if they're connected, but they could be dangerous.
I mean,
that's exactly what I thought too.
I say other words sometimes, you guys.
The Reds,
you know?
Winning the Central would feed families.
Yeah.
The Reds are cool, man. I mean, the Reds are fun. Like TJ Friedl, Matt McLean, Spencer Steer, Ellie De La Cruz, Christian Encarnacion Strand, Noelvi Marte. They got Jaimer Candelario. Jonathan India is somehow still there. I don't know what position he's going to play. But yeah, they're a fun team that I think has a pretty dang high ceiling. because of all those young players and what they could bring. Also, Tim makes a good point in the chat about Jackson Churio with the Brewers. We didn't mention him.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
a huge factor yeah, for them true. This season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's hard to elevate them based on a guy that we haven't actually seen in a major league game yet.
Sure.
So
sure. Marco says Giants are B tier, and I kind of agree with Marcos. I think that the Matt Chapman move really was a move I didn't like because of how, I mean, honestly, how good that makes them. I mean, the it felt like that's kind of what they needed, and I sincerely think that they could be even an A tier team, to be honest. I feel like they could be.
I don't see A. Yeah. I think there's B. too many question marks in the rotation for me to call them an A team. You know, in a perfect world where Alex Cobb and Robbie Ray are healthy, I could maybe see them elevating to that level, but they're gonna try Jordan Hicks in the rotation.
Yeah.
We'll see what that looks like. There's some question marks there. Logan Webb is really the only guy in the rotation that's like, I know what I'm getting. This guy is good,
sure.
Right? Kyle Harrison, a prospect, one of their top pitching prospects, is going to probably, be counted on in a bigger way this year. So, there's a lot of question marks in that rotation.
I think what we don't know is how is a Bob Melvin Giants team going to be, right? Because that's the big change there, and we know this team. Like, it felt like the Giants did a lot without having much. You know, we talked about how they had all of these guys that hit 230 and stuff on their, you know, as part of their lineup. But it really does feel like they were a team last year that was much better than it felt like they had any business being at times, as far as record wise.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
All the bullpen games that they were throwing out there, all of that stuff. So
it wasn't pretty.
It wasn't, right? But it was effective, right? And, you know, of course, that's what happens when you have a very, very handsome manager.
Correct.
Now you have a very, very good manager in Bob Melvin, but not nearly as handsome. So I don't know how that's going to work out for them. But I will say that it's the Giants do worry me a little bit with Bob Melvin there with the pieces they've added. I feel like they are a better team, and I think they're just going to make the National League West that much more difficult for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I think I would say B for the Giants.
Okay.
I think the ceiling is fairly high because of Robbie Ray, because of Alex Cobb once he gets healthy. But yeah, I can't put the Giants in an A. I think before Matt Chapman, I would have fairly confidently put the Giants in the C range.
Yeah.
And now I feel comfortable putting them up in the B category.
All right. Well, we got the Diamondbacks and the Phillies. And of course, those are our A teams, right?
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, that feels pretty
I don't want to give the Phillies that credit, but they deserve it, so we'll do it. As much as I want to do it just out of spite or pettiness, I want to put them. I mean, let's put, you know what, Damon, just for a second, throw them in F tier.
The Phillies?
Yeah, just put them in. Put them in jail for a little.
You just want to see what it looks like?
That looks good. Doesn't that look good?
I like
down
that.
There?
I like, you like that. That? That's where they belong.
I just wanted to try it on.
Should I make like a Drew Stubbs tier?
Yeah.
And they just get to be there by themselves? Yeah, sure. Whatever.
The Philly fanatic is what you
really even remember his name.
Is it? Yeah. Drew Stubbs is like the guy who played shortstop for like a long time.
Yeah,
a long time Cincinnati Red, right? Yeah. Phillies and Diamondbacks.
You can put back in the A tier.
Phillies and Diamondbacks in A. I don't think that the difference between the Diamondbacks and some of the teams that we have below them is necessarily enormous. I mean, you look at the projections, the Diamondbacks versus, You know, like the Diamondbacks, according to Baseball Prospectus, are projected for half a win more than the Cardinals. So the projections don't quite line up necessarily with what we're saying here. But the Diamondbacks were just
are stupid. We know that
they were just
they, don't
in,
know
they were just in the World Series, and they had a good offseason, which we've talked about at length. And yeah, I think at this point you'd rather be the Diamondbacks than you would be the Giants or the Cubs or the Cardinals or Brewers, any of those teams. You would rather be the Diamondbacks. Maybe the difference isn't massive. It's not as massive as the difference between a couple of other teams we're about to talk about and the rest of the National League. But I do think that there is a difference between where the Diamondbacks are and all of those other teams we talked about, as well as the Phillies. They're in that same category for me.
We have talked about my theory with the you know, leveling up, right? And it's like the Diamondbacks, they established who their core was, yeah. and they added pieces to it, and they got their core to be successful, which it was almost like two steps going up two levels in one season, because this team was there were a lot of question marks about this team at the beginning of last year. So how far they've come from the start of last regular season to now is incredible. Yeah. And that has allowed them now this offseason to add those free agent pieces that hopefully can, you know, fix some of your shortcomings and get you over the hump. Right. And so
for sure
right now, it definitely feels like, you know, the Diamondbacks are a team that had success. They know that it was not as successful as it appears to be. Like the mentality in that clubhouse is very much the correct mentality, which is we almost didn't make the playoffs at all. So we have to make sure that we don't start thinking we're one of these S-tier teams yet, because they're not, right? It's not to say that they can't get back to that point, but this franchise has only won 100 games one time in franchise history. And that one time didn't even matter because it wasn't a year that we actually did anything significant in the playoffs or anything. It just means that, you know, of course this franchise is moving in the right direction. And I think that A is not just us kind of being homers here. I think it is a fair assessment of where the Diamondbacks actually are. Jesse said it right. When you look at the other teams, you can look at the Diamondbacks and see that they are in a better position than most of these other teams.
Yeah. I think they're closer. Like they're in A, and they're probably closer to B than they are to S. Sure. The team's in S, which we're about to get to on a bit of a different level. But yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks, if we had done this a year ago, are probably confidently in the C tier.
Correct.
And they are in a substantially better position now than they were a year ago.
Well, there's no mystery. It's the Dodgers and the Braves in the S tier, and for good reason, right? Those teams are, these are teams that can literally lose the biggest star on their team. Which in the Dodgers case, you'd have to argue who is the biggest star on that team. Obviously, it's Otani, but I mean, you know, you could make a case for other guys. But like the Braves could literally lose Ronald Acuna and they'll still win 120 games. Like, it's crazy how good those two teams are.
Did you say 120?
Yeah, 120 games, because it's crazy how good those two are. I mean, it doesn't matter, because when you get to the playoffs, it's a completely different season. It's a completely different thing by that point, right? But those are two teams that you can just write as I think somebody one day said, you can write it in ink, you know, that these are in fact.
What is Damon doing right now?
He's creating a new tier of cheaters, it looks like. Who are you putting in the cheaters tier? Oh, the Dodgers. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. That's, you know what? That's not an overreaction at all. And I like it.
Yeah. There you go. I figured that before this was over, one of you would at least want to experiment with putting the Dodgers at the very bottom of the tier list.
I feel like this is completely fair. I honestly don't know what everyone's freaking out about right now.
No. Can you tell me why they're cheaters?
I'm sorry, did you not watch this whole offseason play out? This is the definitive National League tier rankings list right here.
There it is. That's it. We'll publish that and put that on social media, and there won't be any backlash at all in regards to that. That's fine. I
kind of do want to post that to social media.
So they get for circumventing the CBA, right?
That's right.
Right, Damon?
That's right. Cheater.
Even though it was really just Shohei Ohtani being entirely too nice with the terms of his contract.
Giving up money, basically.
We've already gone down that rabbit hole enough. Yeah. So.
Well, if you like money, you can make some money. And you can do it by betting on Shohei Ohtani, by the way. You can do it on the BetMGM Sportsbook app. And right now you can get down on all sorts of future bets for Major League Baseball. One thing they have, Jesse, which I just find to be delightful, is they just decided to make random matchups between two players. And you get to choose who is going to hit more home runs than the other, like who's going to hit more home runs.
Oh, there you go.
But it's like just random. It's like random. It's like Paul Goldschmidt versus Ronald Acuna. You know, like it's like that. Like you're like, what do these two guys have in common? Nothing. It's just BetMGM having fun. It's cool. Exactly. So, of course, you can get down on the fun with the BetMGM Sportsbook app right now. You can sign up and use our code of PHNX, deposit $5 into your newly created account. Place a wager in that amount, and once you have placed a bet, you'll receive $150 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your wager. Shane is back. That way, now you can actually get good advice on PHNX bets.
Oof.
Wow.
Shots fired.
You can take that statement however you wish to. But
Derek,
I produced
that show one day, like 2 weeks ago. I am deeply offended by this. All right. Me and Damon are a package deal.
Crazy.
He said there was lots of music and stuff. It was complicated.
It was so complicated.
He put his producer hat on and he started cooking.
Proud of him.
It was pretty impressive.
Sign up for BetMGM and then you can use their wonderful advice over there. Use your bonus code of PHNX. Place your first BetMGM Sportsbook wager through the Sportsbook mobile application for at least $5. You will receive $150 instantly in additional winnings regardless of your wager's outcome. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to our guy, Damon, talk about the disclaimer.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 New York. Call 1-800-327-5050 Massachusetts. 21 plus to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 Puerto Rico in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Visit BetMGM.com for terms. This promotional offer is not available in New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
All right. Well, Gila River Resorts and Casinos, by the way. Nobody does it better than them. We're going to be having all sorts of fun events out there at Gila River, so make sure to keep an eye on that here with our with all of our stuff going on at PHNX. But also check out Gila River anytime. They offer an authentic and immersive experience. They have an unprecedented level of entertainment and excitement you won't find anywhere else here in the Valley, and they've set a high bar. Of course, you don't have to leave for a vacation. You don't have to go to Las Vegas. You can get all that fun with their 800 slot machines, their 15 blackjack tables, and their live gaming tables, as well as Arizona's largest casino sportsbook right here in town. Head over to Gila River Resorts and Casinos and let them show you what next level is all about. You do you at Gila River Resorts and Casinos. Visit play@gila.com for more details.
We're doing our PHNX Cardinals watch party at Gila River.
That's right.
Resorts and Casinos. Jesse, would you like to go to that?
I would.
Oh, that sounds good. Okay, Derek, I'll see if I can get you on the list. It's going to be pretty tight.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
But I'll
he's doing the thing again.
I'm going to just
huh?
I'm
why
gonna
is he gatekeeping Gila River Resorts and Casinos from me? That doesn't seem fair. Is he gaslighting me or is he gatekeeping?
Said I'll see if I can get him on the list. How much else does he want?
All right, I mean, he's already doing you a solid, Derek. I mean, getting you into that place.
All right. Well, tall order. We know whose dog I am and whose dog I am not. But you talked about Cardinals. Sonny Gray has a mild hamstring. He could start the season on the IL. Astros. Justin Verlander will start the season on the IL with shoulder soreness. All sorts of bad things, but the worst one obviously has to be the Boston Red Sox signing Lucas Giolito to a 2-year, $38.5 million deal this offseason, only for him to possibly miss the entire 2024 season with a partial UCL tear.
Yeah, he had Tommy John surgery, I think, back in 2012, like when he was first drafted. So it would be a second Tommy John surgery if indeed that is the path that they go there. Very bad news for the Boston Red Sox, and yet potentially good news for Scott Boras.
Oh, Scott Boras is licking his chops right now.
Yeah.
He's like, this is why we wait. This is why we play the game.
You're right. Right. Exactly.
This is what we play it for. He's going to definitely get the money he's seeking for those guys. Hopefully he doesn't. I don't know. I just need him to learn his lesson. But yeah, it's definitely unfortunate. Again, I hate to reiterate something I said earlier, but that is why the Diamondbacks like keep reinforcing the whole thing about health, like getting through spring training and these meaningless games without a major injury is pretty difficult. Like sometimes, you know, it's just going to happen. It's the luck of the draw. being out there playing a game, you can get injured. And I think that a big part of what the position players are trying to do is get themselves ramped up the same way pitchers do without having those injuries occur. Diamondbacks lucky so far, but they've even had a couple of guys miss time. Alec Thomas, like we said, yeah, the guys that came back today, Gino and Alec Thomas, missed some time.
Yeah, and Randall Grichuk is another name to That's keep right. an eye on. Torey Lovella was not willing to say anything about his status for opening day, you know, that potentially being an issue today, but it does seem like he needs to get into a game fairly soon.
Yeah.
And in order to be ready for opening day, I know the Diamondbacks could roster him on opening day and just not have him be available in the field, just use him as a designated hitter only for a while. But that is something to monitor. He has not yet been cleared for all baseball activities. Correct. And therefore is not played in an actual game. He will need to clear that bar before playing in a regular season game for sure.
Well, in unpopular news, I guess you could say, the Oakland A's continue their move to Las Vegas, and they have revealed conceptual drawings of what their new stadium in Las Vegas is going to look like. And as much as people are probably going to hate me and Jesse for saying this, it kind of looks incredible. Like, it kind of looks like everything we would want, like, out of Chase Field. Las Vegas is still very hot. They have to deal with the exact same problems with having a ballpark that the Arizona Diamondbacks do. But look at this. Look at this. This is incredible. Jesse, what is that scoreboard on the roof?
Yeah, yeah, it is pretty remarkable. I love the amount of natural light that comes inside this building.
And the skyline of having the, you know, New York and MGM Grand and all that stuff out there in the background of that, you know, the outfield. That looks amazing.
That's really that's does. Vegas in the background, Derek. That's not New York.
No, that's New York, New York. It's a hotel, Jesse. I know you don't frequent Vegas very often. I've lost a lot of money in that building, but it looks like the Sydney Opera House from the outside. And
it does. It's a really funky design. But
it feels like it fits very well into Las Vegas, right? Like, yeah, you have the Sphere right there. You have all sorts of other crazy looking buildings. I think that this looks really cool, man. I mean, as far as a baseball stadium goes, I would like to go to this. I was in Miami and I saw the Lone Depot Park for the first time in person. Oh. And that's a very interesting building as well. It kind of has a little bit of that going on. But PW Pondonkey says AC working overtime in that building. Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of light coming in.
You'd think there is a cost to bringing all that light in from the outside. Can we look at the picture that has the scoreboard on it one more time? Because I do just have to go get down the weeds a little bit when it comes to the lineups that they have.
Yeah, please do.
You're gonna have to zoom in. You might not really be able to make this out, but they have Grichuk on the scoreboard on the Angels side. So apparently whenever this stadium opens, Randall Grichuk will have found his way back to the Angels is sort of their assumption.
Oh,
they
no.
also have like exceptionally good batting averages for like everyone on the list.
which a lot of guys also hit over 300.
Yeah, which I also find fascinating. They have the A's having like all of the players that they have now, except all of those players like suddenly being very, very good. So this is the future.
This is
that
electric,
they,
though. Yeah. I don't care. I don't care if I have to hurt my neck to look up at that on the ceiling. I am going to do that. That's crazy. Tim says batter's eye would be dangerous. Yeah, they don't give a damn about batter's eye anymore. They don't care about that anymore. We're all about the looks and the vibes. It's a party vibe going on in Las Vegas, that's for sure. But I can't wait to take a road trip out there. And I know that is on the back of a terrible situation, but I love baseball, and that building is going to be very cool. So
I'm still a little ways away, I think, from being able to like actually break ground on that building.
If that teachers union has anything to say about it, they'll never break ground on that building. So we'll keep locked into that situation as things progress. We do thank you guys for stopping by. We appreciate you guys for joining us tonight. Of course, we'll keep this party going over on Twitter. You can follow me at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This maniac next to me is at Jesse N. Friedman. Of course, we used to be Damon's Dogs. We're not anymore. You can still be Damon's Dog. I don't care. You can follow him on Twitter. It's
Did
at
Derek not Day, started with the betting advice shot?
Maybe
we were very cordial. We were connected. We were dangerous.
Lindsay says I did.
And all of a sudden, Derek, out of left field, just shoots me in the heart.
I don't care what you have to say. Lindsay saying that I did start it. I mean, she's usually pretty honest about stuff. And
all I will say, no, and I ended it.
Gerald says no. Oh man, stay tuned for the Sun Show. That's going to be a burner next. But yeah,
all I will say is that Alec Thomas came up to Derek in the clubhouse today and said, "Hey, dog." Yeah. And I was like, this isn't, Damon's going to be furious
not again,
about this.
We are Alex dogs. Bark, bark.
They can't keep getting away with this.
I know. I'm sorry. They love me. Anyway, follow all of us on Twitter. Damon is a Damon dog. Of course, our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We appreciate you guys for joining us. We thank you so much for stopping by. Have a wonderful night. We will see you tomorrow again. Off day tomorrow.
1 p.m. tomorrow.
So back to the old time. So make sure to join us at 1 p.m. tomorrow. And in the meantime, keep it classy. We appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it is so much more fun when Gino mashes dingers.